right. What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 2 of the Wholeness series. As we've kickstarted right back into the new year with the podcast, I'm so excited to talk about this. This entire series is honestly just super close to my heart because the whole last year, I feel like I just really dove into this concept without even trying, and God just really refined my character. And not that I know all the answers or understand how to be completely whole in my relationship with Jesus at all, but I'm just kind of here to share some of the things along the way that he's shown me. It's been such a sweet and hard and crazy time. But it has been so good, and I have never felt so secure in my relationship with God, especially after going through really hard stuff. I feel like he really just leans in and teaches you who he really is in times like that. So I'm so excited to talk about this subject. The title of this is When Your Relationship with God Starts to Feel Like a To-Do List. And honestly, we're going to dive into a little bit more than just that. I think we've all been there, and if you haven't, you will, when you kind of feel like your relationship with Jesus is less personal and more of a chore, or you kind of feel like you're just going through the motions, not necessarily because anything happened, not because, you know, you're questioning your place with God. It's just because you've been doing this for so long, or you don't really know what to do, and you kind of find yourself in this place of feeling like you don't know how to have a personal and sweet and tangible relationship with God without feeling like you're forcing something, or you don't have the same relationship with God that everybody else does, or you start comparing yourself. The list goes on. And so I kind of have just put together a few points of moments that I've felt that way and what I've done and how the Lord has really reconstructed my viewpoint of my relationship with him. And yeah, so I'm just going to dive right in. Right now, I'm reading Hosea in the Bible, which is absolutely the most perfect book to understand God's heart for you. And that's the first point, is to understand God's heart for you, to make sure that your relationship with Jesus doesn't turn into a to-do list. Is the first thing is understanding God's heart for you, which is a contradictory statement, because I don't think we ever will fully grasp God's heart for us, because it is so vast and so deep and so beautiful. And our minds really can't get all the way there. But to understand God's heart for you will radically change your view of your relationship with him. Because if you are striving and striving and striving and trying to reach him on your own without realizing that he's already reached you, you're going to tire yourself out. And so I'm going to open up to Hosea really quick and just kind of read to you some of the points that have really stuck out to me, because through the moments of reading this, it really has opened my eyes to how much God loves me through my mistakes, just seeing how he treats Israel through this whole thing. So if you don't know a lot about Hosea, so there's a movie that just came out called Redeeming Love. I read that book when I was 16. It was my absolute favorite thing, and then they came out with a movie. And so I ran to the theater and I watched it, and it was so good. Of course, the book was better, always, but I decided after going to see it, the movie's based on the book of Hosea. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to go through Hosea again and just kind of reread through the things that really hit me in that book as well. So Hosea is all about God talking about how Israel is basically cheating on him. Israel, that's his people, and they're turning to other gods and other things other than him. And God basically just illustrates how broken his heart is. So he has Hosea marry a prostitute. Very crazy, very strange. And at first glance in this book, it's kind of like, what? Like, God would not ask someone to do that. But it was all for the... his reasoning was to show Israel how it feels to be cheated on, to be left behind, your true husband to be left. And it's super emotional, and reading it through has just absolutely shattered my heart, because it really paints the picture of how in our everyday lives we turn to other things more than God often, if not every single day. We choose things over him, and it really has just opened my eyes to see how many mistakes I've made and how many things just in my normal daily life where I leave God out of it, and how much he still chases me and loves me and chooses me. So basically in one of the parts of the book, Gomer, she's the prostitute, ran away from her husband to go be with other men. And Hosea comes and provides for her anyway, gives her, you know, food and money and all the things. And of her own free will, you know, he leaves her there, but he still provides for her. And a note that I read on Enduring Word, which is a commentary I use, said, when Hosea provided for Gomer, she spent it on her adulterous lovers. And this is how God loves us, lavishing blessing on us, even when we're worshiping idols, providing us with blessings we waste on other gods. I think I read that a million times, because how true is that, you know, that God provides financially for us. He provides just so many blessings, let alone just being our God, just being present with us. And we waste it on material things or just not communicating with God how we should or not spending time with God. And yet he still lavishes blessing upon us. And then the other part that I really, that really stuck out to me was from chapter 2. And God says, so there was this whole section where he's saying, you know, you've hurt me, my heart's broken, you know, you've cheated on me. And then the next, line, the title of it is the Lord's mercy on Israel. And that alone is just like, man, like you don't need to have mercy. And he just does because that's who he is. And it says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And the note said, the allurement of love surpasses in power all other forces. The Lord in mercy determines that in all truthfulness, he will outbid the devil and he will win us to himself. And it's just, and then it said, he will win us to himself by fascinations, enticements, and allurements, which shall be stronger than any force of resistance we may offer. Allure is a wonderfully precious word. And it's like that is how God loves us. He wins us back, not because we deserve to be chased, but because he just loves us so deeply. And this is not to say, keep making mistakes because he'll keep chasing you. That is not what I'm saying at all. But if in your relationship with God, you don't first understand his heart for you, that he's already defeated death for you, that he's already conquered the grave for you, that he's already paved the way for your relationship with him, you're never going to have a true relationship with him. And so my first point is understand God's heart for you, because you're never going to be able to move forward in your relationship with him if you don't know that you're already loved by him. And that kind of leads directly into the second point, which is to put away your standards, to put away your crazy expectations. I will now call myself an ex-perfectionist. I've lived most of my life trying to do everything right and to a T, and just very, very, very hard on myself. No matter what I would do, it was never good enough. I just, in all areas of my life, whether it be my relationship with God, school, friendships, everything, it kind of slipped into my relationship with God because it was like, okay, well, I need to do this, to have a relationship with God and for him to love me. And so that goes back to the first point. He already loves me. Everything I do is just a result of that love that we have together. And realizing that I can never love him as much as he loves me. And I go into all the things I want to do for him based out of the love that I already feel from him. And so there's another part in Hosea here that says, God is not satisfied with a fear-based, obedience-focused relationship with him. He wants to be my husband, not my master. And that's from chapter 2, a little bit further down than I read earlier. It says, and in that day declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. My Baal is short, is like a different language for my master. He doesn't want to be our master. He doesn't want to be keeping a to-do list with us. He doesn't want to be telling us the rights and the wrongs. He just wants to love us, and in that love, we do the things that is on his heart for us to do. And so I spend a majority of my life, and I even slip back into it sometimes still, of feeling like I have to do certain things to earn his approval, or have these crazy expectations for myself, like I talked about in episode 1, waking up super early and, you know, doing all these different things I saw other Christians doing, that made me feel like, okay, well, now I have a good relationship with God, or now my relationship is comparable to theirs. And that's just so not the truth of my relationship with Jesus. It's like, It's like when you're married, you don't want your relationship with your husband to look just like your friend's relationship with their husband. You want to have your own personal relationship with him. And so understand God's heart for you. Know that no matter what you do, he has consistently and already chosen you. And the second part is to drop your own standards and expectations and let his love just go through you and allow you to do the things that are on his heart for you to do, rather than it become a list of things to prove yourself or to feel like you're a good Christian, because that's not even possible. He's already doing the work in you. And then that leads right into point three as well, is your inward relationship with God, how you stand with God when behind closed doors, when nobody is there, is what will appear in your outward life of service. So if your relationship with God is in trouble and you're not really spending time with him and there's stuff going on behind the scenes where you are struggling with your relationship with him, it's going to show in your life of service, because you're doing things as a to-do list. Whereas if in your relationship with God behind closed doors, you just have an intimate and personal relationship with God where you're speaking to him and communicating with him and spending time with him and understanding his love for you and understanding his heart for you and dropping those standards and expectations, your life of service is just going to be an automatic response to the life and the love that he's given you. And so you just have to always look at that. If you're trying to make your outward life better, or to pursue all these different things that are going to make you a good Christian to fix your inward life with God or your inward relationship with him, it's not going to work that way. It has to be the other way. It has to be inward to outward. How your relationship with God is behind closed doors is how you will serve in the outward life. And so our public lives are not meant to be just this declaration of like, oh, I'm a good Christian. Our outward lives are supposed to be an automatic response to the love that he has for us and his heart for us. And so that's really all I have to say about that. I have been caught in that trap so many times of, okay, well, maybe if I do this, my relationship with God will be better. My relationship with God has already been won for me. I don't need to work any harder to have a connection with God. He took on the cross for me. The sacrifice has already been made. I already have a connection with Jesus that I don't have to buy or try for. It's already been given to me. And though that is the most basic concept of being a Christian, that Jesus went to the cross for me and now I have access to God, I think that that's the most not understood part of it too, because all of these other issues where we're trying to win God's favor or win his blessing, that doesn't work with our theology that God has already won the battle for us. He's already given us full access to a relationship with him. And so I think that continuing to just remind ourselves of what the gospel really is, that I've already been chosen and accepted. I've already been brought into the kingdom of God. I've already chosen to have a relationship with Jesus, and way of a bigger deal than that, he's already chosen me. He's already picked me out from my sin. He's already pulled me out of my mistakes and called me his. And like in Hosea, he says he wants to be our husband. How precious is that, that I am the adulterous wife. I am the prostitute, per se, and he has chosen me anyway. And it's just such a beautiful thing that I continue to have to remind myself every single day, if not more than that, to just remember that I'm not trying to win him. He's already won me. And for some reason, he calls me his delight, which is my favorite thing to think about, because it's like, man, I don't deserve that. None of us do. And yet he's called me his own, and chased me down until I realized that his love for me is the only true and sweet love I'll find. So that's point three, is to make your inward life with him your goal. And the outward life will just work itself out. The chips will fall where they may. Like it says in Psalms, the lines will fall perfectly where they're supposed to be. I think that's in Psalm 16. And then point four is your relationship with God can't be feelings-based, because though you may have the first three completely correct in your mind, your standards and expectations are right where they're supposed to be, your inward life with God is your top priority, all of those things, you're still going to have days where you don't feel like talking to him and you don't feel like reading your Bible. I'm not married, but I've heard from many, many married couples that You don't wake up every single day being like, man, I just love you so much. You will some days, but you live with the person. They have flaws. They have mistakes. And love is a choice. And though if you have a healthy marriage, it will come easily, there are going to be days when you get frustrated or days when you don't understand certain things. And that's the very same thing with your relationship with Jesus. It's not going to be every single day like, oh, I can't wait to read Leviticus. I can't wait to, you know, go through the hard parts of the Bible. I can't wait to talk to God about the one thing I don't want to talk to him about. You're going to have difficult days with the Lord. And if you make it feelings based, you will never have a real relationship with him, because if you only spend time with him when you feel like it, you're never gonna get to love him the way that you're supposed to, or allow him to love you the way you're supposed to. And so that's really all I have to say about that. When you don't feel like it, you still should press in and be honest with him and say, oh, I'm not feeling like doing this right now, but I know that it's what my heart needs. And the enemy plays a part in that too. He doesn't want you to get in your word, you know? If he wants to discourage you, he's going to try. And your best way to combat that is to spend time with God even when you don't feel like it. That doesn't mean spend 8 hours in the word. It just means talk to him, be honest with him, read something that's going to be encouraging, you know? This is your built-in best friend. He wants to hear what's on your heart. It's not just some, like, of course it's good to pray for the world and pray for your leaders and all that stuff, but if you don't have those moments of intimate prayer with him where you're like, correct my heart, like, what is going on with me? Or, Lord, I feel this way, and I'm not going to pretend I don't. He wants to hear that. That's how you grow in your relationship with him, and you are not disappointing him by feeling those things. Jesus is 100% man. He's felt discouraged. If you read the Gospels, I can promise you he didn't feel like going to the cross, and it makes it very apparent that he didn't, but he still did it for us, you know? And so our relationship with him is not based on our feelings. It's based on knowing that, back to point one, understanding his heart for us and knowing that this is a love we'll never fully understand, and we get full access to it no matter what time or place. And that is what the people of the Old Testament long for more than anything else in the world. And we have access to it every day, which blows my mind consistently. And I try to continually remind myself of that. How beautiful this life is, that we get to live with the Holy Spirit constantly. That's insane. That is insane. It doesn't make any sense. And so, yeah, I am just, I will completely always be floored by that. But yeah, and then the last thing I kind of wanted to talk through is just some practical tips, things that I do in my relationship with Jesus that have helped me. I try to set a specific time every single day where I spend time with Jesus. But honestly, this does fluctuate, and it's back to that point on not having super high expectations for yourself. If you set your time to be 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. every single day and you miss it, that's okay. Just make up for it when you have the time to do it. But that is very important, to make sure that you do set aside a time every single day to really meditate on the scriptures, to know what, continue to remind yourself of all the things I've been talking about in this episode. It's very vital to continue to prioritize that time with him, because it's like having a husband and never talking to him. You can't do that. When you spend time with him, make sure it's not just reading the scripture, but talking to him about it, asking for understanding, asking him how you can bring those principles into your own life. Other things that I do is make sure that you're taking care of your mental health and your physical health as well, because a lot of things that play into not feeling like doing certain things is because you're out of balance in other areas of your life. Like, you're not getting enough sleep, so you're super tired. You're falling asleep when you're reading the Bible. It's happened to all of us. Make sure that you're getting enough sleep. Make sure that you are exercising, whether that's, you know, taking a walk outside, whatever that looks like for you. I'm not a big exercise fan. I don't love it, but I do go to the gym as much as possible just because I know that it's good for me, and it does make me feel better. So if you're prone to anxiety and all those things, that also helps with that. And then your mental health is really greatly affected by both of those things, physical well-being and sleeping, and just making sure that your health in general is at a peak. And so that, even though this doesn't necessarily have to do with spirituality, it really does, because your physical and mental health matter to God. And so if you can find a way to just slowly implement things that will help you stay healthy, you're going to feel better in your relationship with Jesus, because this is a body he created for you to live in. You can't serve him well, if you're not healthy. So I'm just going to throw that in there. I really struggle with this too. And so there's going to be an episode in the future about mental health and talking through that. But yeah, so just want to kind of throw that in there that here's your encouragement to really just start taking small steps. It doesn't mean radically change your sleeping pattern tonight. It just means take small steps to make sure that you're healthy for you. And it's not a comparison to other people's lives. I personally really, really do well in an organized space. My room, I try to keep as orderly as possible. Currently, even though this is so pretty, if you're on the audio version, you can't see my little podcast corner. Video version is available for patrons. So if you wanted to get the video versions, that link is in my Instagram bio. But behind all the cameras and stuff, my room is a disaster. So after this, I will be cleaning it up, spending time with God, and all of that. So keeping an organized space definitely helps me. Having an atmosphere where I feel safe. These are all just little practical things I try to do to keep my mind in a healthy space, to really set aside time for God and to feel not distracted during that time. And so that's something else I do. Another thing is when I'm in the car and there's nothing really going on, I have like a 30-minute drive, that's a lot of the times I'll talk to God during that time because it is time where I really am just alone. There's nothing else for me to do except focus on the road. So find little spaces throughout your day where you can just take a pause, be silent, be quiet, talk to God. Really just prioritize those little moments with Him that you have throughout the day, because if you don't take any time to pause and breathe and reflect, you're going to start getting overwhelmed and distracted and then not talking to God or not really having as intimate of a relationship with Him as you could. And then the last practical tip is just don't compare yourself to other Christians. It is so easy to get caught in that trap, especially being friends and having relationships with other Christians. It is so easy to be like, oh, they read that faster than I did. Or, you know, they're getting up and they're spending an extra 2 hours in the Word, or they're doing this. Just because someone else is doing something does not necessarily mean that that's for you and your relationship with Jesus. So just make sure, I'm not going to go into that because it's really your decision on how you want to operate in your relationship with God, but just don't focus so much on other people's relationship with Jesus. It's going to be distracting and you're just going to take away from your own time with Him and your own relationship with Him. And so just try your best to continue to remind yourself daily to not get caught in that trap, because it just makes it harder. It's not fun. And so, yeah, so I hope that this episode was helpful for you. I think talking through it for me was just sweet because I just continue to remember how wild this relationship with God really is, and learning how to not compare myself and learning how to not be a perfectionist and learning how to make my relationship with Jesus be intimate and not a to-do list. It's hard. It's hard stuff. And having each other to really walk through this is really important. And so I'm so thankful for you. I'm so glad that you're here. And I really hope that these episodes have helped you, not because I really know what I'm doing, but really just talking through my own experiences. So I really hope that this has been helpful. And I love you guys so much. And I will see you in 2 weeks for episode 3 of this series. Bye, guys.